From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. The tallying of votes should soon begin in France, where citizens are deciding whether Marine Le Pen or Emmanuel Macron will be their next president. This globally watched election has French voters trying to figure out which candidate is most suitable.
I did vote for Mr. Macron. He's really shifting the political game in France.
To me, it's important for France. I am not for the euro.
Okay.
And I'm not for Europe, never was. You know, the best person who could resolve some of the problem that there is in France, period. I don't believe in this other guy.
A campaign of French presidential frontrunner Emmanuel Macron says it was targeted by a massive and coordinated computer hacking operation on the eve of the final round of voting for the country's next president. The large volume of confidential data posted online near midnight Friday included troves of emails and accounting records from the Macron campaign. In France and beyond, pundits and analysts said Saturday there were clear comparisons to cyber thefts in the United States last year that targeted the presidential campaign of Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton. Security forces in Iraq say two people were killed, six wounded, when militants attacked a base in northern Iraq where U.S. military advisors are stationed. It was not immediately clear if U.S. personnel were among the dead and wounded. Authorities say two of the insurgents were killed when their suicide vest detonated on the base located near Kirkuk. Three other militants were shot dead by Kurdish fighters. Reuters reports Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying it had killed and wounded dozens of crusaders and apostates, a reference to the forces and the Western military advisors. More at VOAnews.com. This is VOA News. Boko Haram extremists in northern Nigeria have released 82 schoolgirls kidnapped in 2014 by the militant group in the town of Chibok near Nigeria's borders. Nigerian government officials confirmed the releases early Sunday. CNN quoted a government official close to the situation as saying that the girls are under military protection in a northeastern town near the border with Cameroon. Bukishani Bari, one of the founding members of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign.
This is a very, very exciting news for us. That we have over 80 of our girls coming back again means over 80 girls no longer in the den of the abductors. And this is an exciting news for us, for the parents, for the Chibok community, for their relatives, for their friends, and for their family. So, yes, it's a very exciting and welcome development for us.
Top U.S. and Russian military officials say they have agreed to revive a previous agreement intended to prevent any mid-air incidents by warplanes from the two countries flying over Syria. Statements in Washington and Moscow Saturday said General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, spoke by telephone with his Russian counterpart and that they agreed to fully restore an agreement on using Syrian airspace that had been in force from late 2015 through most of last year. The two senior generals also discussed the recent agreement in which Russia, Turkey, and Iran agreed on a Kremlin-proposed plan to reduce the violence in Syria through de-escalation zones, areas of the war-torn country where clashes between Syrian rebels and forces of the Damascus government have been particularly intense. Police in the Indian-controlled portion of Kashmir say rebels attacked the police squad, killing three civilians and a police officer. An assailant was also killed when officers returned fire. Officials say the police unit came under fire late Saturday when it was working to clear the site of a road accident. Various insurgent groups have been fighting for decades for Kashmir's independence from India, a merger with Pakistan. Both countries claim all of Kashmir. The nuclear-armed neighbors have fought two wars for control of that region. Hundreds of women dressed in all white marched in Venezuela's capital, Caracas, continuing more than a month of demonstrations against the president, Nicolas Maduro. The ongoing demonstration started after the Venezuelan Supreme Court March 30th announcement that it would strip the opposition-controlled National Assembly of its legislative powers. The court reversed its position in the wake of domestic and international outcries about an attempted power grab. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.